Amen. I woke up this morning and I looked out the window and I thought I had viewed a, like, just an uproar of dust or something. But lo and behold, it was this, like, this fog or this cloud that just kind of settled in. And I was like, wow, how awesome is that? You know, but I thought, gosh, what's going on here? But praise God. And then just to think, you know, now the sun is shining, kind of burned it all away, right? Oh, let's switch this one. Praise God. There we go. And so today is a good day, amen? And it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And I'm just so glad to be here at church. I missed everyone. I love being in the church of God, and I love to see all your faces and to know that God is at work in each and every one of us. Amen? Amen. He's moving. And today we're going to be in the book of Psalms. So if you have your Bibles, if you could turn to Psalm 30 and just hold it there. And we'll get to that in a minute. But it's a psalm that King David had wrote. And what's amazing about King David, unlike the other kings, is that King David would praise the Lord, that he would be on fire for God. I mean, he used to play the stringed instruments, and he used to even help calm King Saul's nerves at a time. And but the thing about King David is that he would go through life, and he's very much like us, you know, very human. And he's one of those characters in the Bible that you just can see his flaws, and the choices that he made were sometimes not the greatest choices, but then at times there were just like, he was this awesome warrior, this mighty man of God, and he can just do some amazing and mighty things for God. And this guy, even going into the enemy's camp and acting like he would be a part of them only to not be a part of them and to defeat the enemies that were before them. And there's just so much about King David, but he had a family that was very dysfunctional. You would think that this man who is an awesome warrior would have respect amongst his sons and daughters, and quite the opposite, you know, and even go up against him. And what a man who wouldn't even lay a finger on his son after basically spitting in his face, you know. And just a picture of Christ in some ways, as far as having mercy and grace towards others. But as far as sin goes, that's more like us. And, you know, and as we look at this psalm, it starts off with praise, and then it ends in like a praise as well. But in between, there's some things that King David was going through, and how, as to how he got to where he was at. But in the end, he gives him praise, and in the beginning, he gives him praise. So it's amazing in which he does these things according to the Psalms. But nonetheless, speaking of King David and speaking of us, the many issues of mankind are horrendous. Amen? Are horrendous. Because I have issues, and I'm sure you have issues too. And we know other people have issues as well that might be far more and beyond from what we have in our own lives. Amen? But sometimes life seems so bad. It feels like we are literally down in a pit. And this morning's message is coming out of the pit. But sometimes it feels like we're inside of a pit. The inside of a pit is filled with darkness and little sunlight, as you can see. And thank you for that pictorial there. But the inside of a pit is filled with darkness and little sunlight, except when the sun is directly shining down upon it, you see? The walls of the pit are made up of dirt, and there is no beauty of God's creation to be seen. There appears to be no hope, except for what remains inside of our souls. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a beautiful day, Lord. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace, Lord. And Father, help us to hear your word, Lord God. Prick our hearts, Lord God, and change and transform us, Lord. For your servants are listening in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as you all know, being stuck in a pit can be used as a metaphor regarding our state of being concerning our health. You see, King David was sick at one time too. But it could be a metaphor regarding our state of being sick. It could also be something used in terms of being stuck in a pit, like with our finances, or relationships, or careers, or our looks, or our attitude, and even one's spirituality. And as we settle in the state of mind, oppression from the enemy creeps in. You see, because when we're feeling low, the enemy wants to do a work. Depression surrounds us with gloom and sadness. Now, I don't know if any of you ever been in that place before. How many of you ever been sick? Sick to the point to where you're like, I feel like I'm just stuck in a pit. I don't feel like I'm going anywhere. I don't know if God is going to help me or not. And that's that hope that we have within us, is that at times we're like, God is going to see me through. Then one day from the next, it's like, well, God, are you really there? Because it doesn't seem like you are. Amen. But when will we wake up? When will we wake up? When will we be restored? And Lord, please help us. Now, I don't know if you've ever gone through anything like that before, where it seems like you're at the end of your rope, and now you're just falling further and further and further away from hope, or further and further away from restoration, or it just seems like nothing gets better. You know, you get a car and it breaks. Something happens with your kids, or something in life happens, and it's just one thing after the next, after the next, after the next, and it's like, can I truly trust in you, God? Where are you, God? I need you, Lord. So, Lord, please help us. See, King David was a man who was familiar with being stuck in a pit. The decisions he made in life bore many consequences, good and bad, and he was the greatest king to ever rule Israel, and most of all, he was a man after God's own heart. Yet the blood he shed, along with adultery and his self-confidence, led to many toils and snares within his life. You see, he was a great king, but somehow he couldn't keep his eyes focused. And this guy loved to fight. But he had a heart that was filled with praise and love for God. I mean, it's just amazing to see such a man after God's own heart could be so corrupt. But it brought him many toils and snares to his life. And as a result, innocent people died. In fact, there was a time in which God told him not to take a census, and he took a census. And many people died because of his disobedience and didn't even know that it was because of him. But his house was divided, and this is speaking of his family, his house was divided to the point that some of his own sons came up against him and tried to take his kingdom away from him. And not to mention humiliation and sickness and his inability to build a temple for God. He was not allowed to build the temple of God because he had too much blood on his hands. He was not able to. But yet he was a man after God's own heart. That is profound. And though King David knew what it was to be in the pit where sorrow resides, he also knew what it was to be restored with joy. Amen? See, that's the thing about King David that made him different from other kings, is that he would go and do the will of the Lord and then find himself going through the issues of life, going through the issues of the flesh, going through issues of battle, just doing these things. And he would lose his way sometimes, only to come back to God, because he was a true lover and worshiper of God, a true lover and worshiper of God. So let's read Psalm 30. And Psalm 30 gives us a glimpse of sorrow that is turned into joy. And Psalm 30 reads, "I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead and you spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me, Lord. Be my help. You turn my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent, Lord my God. I will praise you forever." So as we break this apart and look at verses 1 through 5. Verses 1 through 5 describes David praising God for lifting him up out of the pit. The pit was so far down that it seemed like death. Kind of like how we were talking about. Have you ever been in that place where it seemed like there's no coming back? There's no hope for me in this life. I failed so much, I don't think I can get back up and bear the humiliation. Or I've done something so wrong that I could never be forgiven. You see? But David strikes at and says, "I praise my God for lifting me up out of the pit. The pit was so far down that it seemed like death. And to see the godly fail or fade brings about pleasure to those who oppose God." You see, when you're serving God, when you're living for God, and people who are against God and people who are not lovers of God, they almost like to see you fail. Those are the people who smirk and snicker at our failure. Amen? However, for the Christian, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen? Because we have a hope. And we have a faith in God. Despite our circumstances, God is with us. Amen? And the reason being is that we have a personal relationship with God. And we serve the God of the living and not the God of the dead. Amen? Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death and even death itself, they can never keep us down. Amen? Never. Death could not keep Jesus in the pit or in the grave. And just when Satan thought he defeated Jesus by him dying on a cross, God lifted him up out of the grave to conquer death. Amen? And that is the hope that we have as Christians, brothers and sisters. If Jesus never rose from the dead, then there would be no hope for us. Amen? We would be the most pitiful of fools there is. But brothers and sisters, that is our hope, amen, that one day we too will conquer death. But in the meantime, we must call out to the Lord. We must cry out to him and ask him to please heal us right now. Amen? Because it's one thing to start off with God. Now, I don't know if you all know that, but there's some people who are basically, would you say, born into Christianity? In other words, if you have a mother and a father who serves the Lord and you're being raised in the church and you go to church, it all began with God. But even before the heavens and earth were created, it all began with God. Amen? And it all ends with God. But if you don't have God in you, then what hope do you have? It all begins and ends with Him, but ends with Him in peace or to be separated from Him. But being that we're all Christians here, amen, we're going to serve the Lord, and we're going to ask Him during this time in our life to help us to get through this life. And that's when I say, touch us, Lord Jesus. Touch us, Lord Jesus. Heal us, Lord Jesus. Restore the joy you have given us, Lord Jesus. Now, I don't know if you have all gone through something to where the joy in your life has been taken away, where it just seems like you wake up and it's like nothing can make you happy. Not the promises of God, not the weather, not a certain type of food, nothing. It's just complete, like, just dull, where you just feel like, I have no joy. I don't even know if I want to go through this life anymore. That's how it is when you're stuck in the pit, you see? But the causes of being in the pit can be self-induced or simply the sovereignty of God. Self-induced. You know, sometimes we get ourselves in trouble by not doing right, but doing wrong. Amen? And that's what happened to King David. There are choices that he had in life, but yet he chose to not walk in that way. However, in verses 6 through 7 of Psalm 30, state the hubristic, arrogant confidence that many of us have when things are going well in our lives. You see, King David was aware of the foolish things that he had done and did that led him or was heading him down into that pit. He was self-aware of these things, and he praised God. And then now he's looking back and he's reflecting on his life, and it shows that he was arrogant and that he was confident in who he was and how God had blessed him. But it was almost like Maslow's hierarchy of need, where you have everything that you need here on the bottom, and as you come up to the self-actualization part of the pyramid. And when you get to that self-actualization piece, it's like, I made it. You know, I did it, you know. I have this awesome kingdom. I have all these wives. I have all these servants. I have all this treasure. I have all this power. You see? He had this confidence, this arrogance about him in verses 6 through 7. And it says, like David, some of us may have said, now in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong, and you hid your face, and I was troubled. And when we become so arrogant and begin to glorify ourselves in the things of this world rather than God, we quench the Spirit of God. Amen. It is as though we have betrayed God and become negligent and complacent, because all of a sudden I look at me and say, I've done all this. I've achieved this. Look at my army. Look at how many people I have in my kingdom. I did all this. Become complacent. We move from utter dependency on God to self-dependency. You see, King David was dependent upon God time after time. And then when he got comfortable, he became self-dependent. So we become so secure and content with the things of this world in our lives that we don't even bother to inquire God about anything. Because I got this. I don't need to ask God's permission. I don't need to ask God, is it okay if I do this or live that way or act this and that way? Amen? I could do whatever I want. And that is when we become like those spoken of Jeremiah 22, 21, which states, I warned you when you felt secure, but you said, I will not listen. This has been your way from your youth. You have not obeyed me. You see? Brothers and sisters, we should not become secure to the point of not seeking God and acknowledging him and giving him honor and glory for what he has done in our lives. Amen. Because the moment we do, we start to look at ourselves and what we have, and then we start making some bad decisions. But when we realize in our despair while being stuck in various pits of life at the expense of ourselves, the fallen world, or the divine sovereignty of God, like David, we become troubled knowing for a split second that God had hid his face from us. Now, I don't know if you all know about a hidden face from God, but in a relationship, I could have a relationship with my son, and he's still my son. But if I choose not to talk with him, if I choose not to communicate with him, or if he chooses not to communicate with me, then our relationship grows distant as though I wasn't even there, you see. But when we believe in God, we know that he will never leave us nor forsake us, amen. But he's still there. But when we go down our own path and do what we want, we grow further and further and further away from God, amen. When God hides his face from us, we quickly notice and pray and confess. These are people who are lovers of God, who are worshipers of God. They do this, amen? They get down on their face when they see what they have done and how it has hurt so many, or how it's gone to beyond destruction. They quickly notice and they pray and they confess their sins. But not so with other kings. They don't repent. They just stay where they're at and continue to depend upon their own resources rather than God. But verse 8 through 10 of Psalm 30 says, to you, Lord, I called. To the Lord I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord I cried for mercy. This is indeed a good prayer. Amen. Yet verse 9 speaks of one who is pleading to be forgiven and see himself as one who will testify about God's goodness as opposed to the dust we become. Nevertheless, David stops the questioning and simply says, hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. In other words, I need your grace, Lord God. So, brothers and sisters, there may be times in our lives in which we are stuck in a pit. For it is a place where one wallows in their failures, their bitterness of attitude, wrongful choices and unforgiveness, which can take away our joy. How foolish and how human, how selfish and how unchristlike we become. Amen. Jerry Bridges from The Navigators hit the nail on the head by saying, conduct determines character and character determines conduct. Our conduct determines our character. Amen? When we move away from God and we do what we want to do, or when we want to do what makes us feel good or how we see it rather than the way God says it is to be. Amen? There's consequences to those actions. Amen? Which causes one to be stuck in the pit. And yet, like King David, at times we forget who we are in Christ. Amen? How many of you have gone through something and you're calling everyone else except for the name of Jesus? Amen? I've been there. Definitely been there. But yet, like King David, at times we forget who we are. And we forget that we have a God who can pull us out of the pit. And sometimes, for some of us, we just don't want to get out of the pit. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just want to bask in the pit, you know? As crazy as it is and it sounds, it's almost like, woe is me. Let me just dwell here. Let me just not care about anything. Let me just continue to keep on living the way that I'm living. And who cares? Who cares? Because I don't care. Amen? But we forget we have a God who can pull us out of the pit, amen, and restore our joy. Because God, he's a restorer, amen, amen, deliverer, amen, provider, amen, our God. But we forget to cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. Sometimes we try to carry the weight of the world and we just can't do a thing about anything because it's not in our power. But when we give it to him, he can take care of it. Amen. Therefore, like David, we too should confess and ask the Lord for forgiveness. Forgiveness from trying to be self-dependent and from feeling sorry for ourselves and saying, woe is me. And brothers and sisters, I've been in that place. And sometimes, I remember this one guy, and he used to kind of tease me a lot. But we were in ministry together, and I would start talking about something, and he would just come behind me, and he'd be going like this. Like, oh, there goes Gabe again. He's all sad again, and he's not moving forward, right? And so, anyway, I can relate. Amen. And I hope you all can relate too, because after all, we're human. The last I looked, you're not God. I'm not God. I don't want to be in control of you or this world. I give it to God. Amen. I give it to God. We got to give it to God. When we confess our sins and stop leaning on our own understanding and realize that God is everything, like David, God turned his wailing into dancing. He removed his sackcloth and clothed him with joy. Amen. That his heart may sing God's praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, when we are feeling like we are in that pit, we need to stand up. We need to confess. We need to repent. We need to cast our cares upon him who cares for us. Amen. We need to move forward. We need to be dancing and shouting in the name of Jesus because we have the victory in Jesus. Amen. There's no turning back. Amen. Once you receive Christ into your life, he is there forevermore. So whatever you're going through, you are not alone. God is with you. Amen. In your darkest hour, God is with you. Amen. And in conclusion, we can no longer stay in the pit. We can no longer become complacent. And we can no longer become or be secure in our ways. So wherever you're at in life, you might feel like everything's going all right. It's going good for me. Got the 401k, I got the car, I got the house, kids are doing well. You know, I come home and my dog fetches my slippers. You know, everything is great, you know. Dinner is prepared at 6. You know, all these things are just so hunky-dory, right? Well, when that happens, you better check yourself, amen. Check yourself, because we can't become complacent. We have to glorify God in the good times and in the bad times, amen. It doesn't matter where we're at in our state of life. God deserves the praise, because he is God, and he is the God who stooped down to pick us up, amen, and to put our feet on solid ground. He is the one who's given us hope, hope beyond this life, amen, because this life can be hard, brothers and sisters, but for some it might be easy. But I tell you what, when it's all over, I want to be with him, amen, and I hope you do too. But we can no longer be secure in our ways or in our accomplishments or in accepting the condition of our physical being. Amen. So if you're feeling good right now, you got to give God some praise. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. And if you're feeling sick, you got to still give God some praise. Amen. Because he is the one who can take care of it. He is the one who watches over us. Amen. We need to cry out to God, and he will take us out of the pit. How many of you want to be released from the pit? Amen. Are you walking in a pit today? Are you inside of a pit today? Only finding your way to go down? I'm telling you today, brothers and sisters, today is the day that you can be removed from that pit. Today is the day that you don't no longer have to be going down that way of depression and oppression. Today is the day that you can say, you know what? I'm going to praise Jesus no matter what. I'm not going to be depressed. I'm not going to be sad. I'm going to rejoice in him. Amen. Because he is a good God.
Yes.
Amen. And if at all, we will be lifted out mentally and spiritually. Because sometimes for some folks, they might be confined to a hospital bed. But in their mind and in their spirit, they're praising the Lord. Amen. Or there might be someone who is stuck in prison and can't get out. But in their mind and in their spirit, they're praising God. Or there might be someone who is suffering so much humiliation or has done something so bad that they don't think that God is there. But when they realize that God is there, even though they might still feel down in their mind and in their spirit, they can be praising the Lord because they have the victory in Jesus. Amen. So let us hold fast to our faith and our hope in Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the answer. Amen. Jesus is the answer. So I want to praise God, and I want you all to continue to praise God, because our God is a good God. Amen. Amen.